What I wanted to talk about tonight is what's going on in Parshat Vayigash and what can we learn about that, you know, for our lives today. Now, if you remember, in Parshat Vayigash is like, I would say, the climax of this whole Joseph story. You know, the brothers sold Joseph, and then he went to Egypt, and then he was a slave, and then he was in the jail, and then finally he got to be the viceroy of Paro. And now his brothers had come down to get food, and he played this whole game with them. And now, at the beginning of Parshat Vayigash, he reveals himself to his brothers, right? And they're stunned, and now he sends them back to get his father, and he goes and he tells, the brothers tell Yaakov that Joseph is alive. He doesn't believe them, and then he believes them, and they go to meet. And the climax of the story is really at the very end of the Parsha, when this meeting, after 22 years, the beloved son and father come and they meet. And this is what we read. It's in this one sentence, the first source. It says, Vayesor Yosef Merkavto, Vayal Likrat Yisrael Aviv, Goshna Vayera Elav, Vipol Al Tzavarav, Vayavek Al Tzavarav Od. So it says that Yosef, when he saw that his father's coming, so he went and he got his chariot ready himself, and he went out to meet his father Yisrael, and he fell on his neck, and he cried very much. Now, there's a big discussion among the commentators who is doing the crying. Most of the commentators say that it's Yosef. It pretty much fits smoothly into the sentence. And so then if it's Yosef crying, so then the question becomes, well, why isn't Yaakov crying? Right? I mean, he's the father who said, I'm going to go to my grave in mourning because my son Yosef has been lost or dead. Right? And so now here he meets his son and he doesn't cry. What's going on? So Rashi, if you take a look in the underlined part of the second source, it says, Yaakov lo nafal al tzavarei Yosef velo nashko va'amru rabotenu shehaya kore et shma. So Yaakov did not fall on his son's shoulders. He did not kiss him. He did not cry. What was he doing? Chazal say he was saying the Shema. Exactly. Why? What is going on that he's saying the Shema? I mean, are we talking about the way we say the Shema, that you have, you know, you should say it like the first thing in the morning, but really you have like 3 hours? I mean, you know, he could have cried on his son's shoulders and then said the Shema. He could have said it like before. I mean, what are they really saying? All of these questions are missing the point, because Chazal are not talking about Yaakov saying the Shema. When we say that the avot, right, the patriarchs or anybody before the giving of the Torah did the mitzvot in the Torah, we do not believe. I mean, there are some people who do, but we do not believe that the avot did the mitzvot the way we do the mitzvot. When the Chazal are saying they did the mitzvah like he said Shema, what they're saying is that he affected something in the world. He was connected to the fundamental idea that we do when we say the Shema. What I'm saying is that when they're saying now that Yaakov said the Shema, it wasn't that he was like doing the mitzvah of saying these words. He was fulfilling the idea of the Shema. Okay? And so now we have to understand, what does it mean, the idea of the Shema? What exactly was he doing that he was, quote unquote, saying the Shema? Okay? So now to understand that, we'll look at another famous story of somebody who said Shema at the peak of his life, and that's Rabbi Akiva. So if you look in the third source, it's a Gemara in Brachot. It says, "Bisha'a shehotziu et Rabbi Akiva la'ariga," when they took Rabbi Akiva out to be killed, the Romans were killing, they killed the 10 famous martyrs, and Rabbi Akiva was one of them. "Zman kriyat Shema haya." It was the time of saying the Shema. So again, we ask the question, what do you mean? Why are you telling me? Are you trying to tell me it was early in the morning? Are you trying to tell me it was like within the 3 hours of the day? I mean, what are you trying to tell me? No, we're not trying to tell you the time of the day. We're trying to tell you the time of history. We're trying to tell you this moment in Rabbi Akiva's life. It was time to say the Shema. It was time to express the idea that saying the Shema expresses. So now, what's that? So the Romans came and they took these iron combs and they peeled his skin off. Okay? And now Rabbi Akiva at this point accepted upon himself the yoke of heaven. Okay? So now in saying the Shema, he is accepting the yoke of heaven. What exactly does that mean? We will understand, okay? But now we understand something, and we know these stories throughout history in the Holocaust at different times, that when people are going to die, so they say Shema Yisrael, right? And it's an acceptance of God. In what way is saying the Shema an acceptance? What is exactly the kind of acceptance that's going on? We'll see now. Okay? So now, the Gemara goes on, and it says, Amru lo talmidav, Rabbeinu ad kan. The student said to him, are you faithful to this point where you're in excruciating pain, they're torturing you, and you have such great faith? Amar lahem, he said to them, Kol yamai hayiti mitzta'er al pasuk ze b'chol nafshecha. All my life, I was concerned, how does one fulfill the verse in the Shema that says that you will do everything for God, even onto your soul? Afilu notel nishmatcha. Even if they were to take your soul, you will still continue to serve God. Amarti matay yavo liyadi v'akaymenu. When will this come to my hand that I can actually fulfill it? Asks Rabbi Akiva to his students. Haya ma'arich be'echad ad sheyatzta nishmato be'echad. And so he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, whatever, however you is, that you can extend the Dalit. Some people say it's really TH, and maybe that's how it works. Whatever it is, his soul, it says, went out when he said the Dalit of Echad. Yatzta bat kol v'amra, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, sheyatza nishmatcha be'echad. Happy are you, Rabbi Akiva, that your soul went out when you said the oneness of God. You said the one, the Echad, of the Shema. So now, why is Rabbi Akiva to be so happy that he died saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Why? What is so happy about that? Okay, why is that? What is going on with all these Shemas? Okay, the one with Yaakov, one with Rabbi Akiva. We understand a little bit that it's accepting heaven, but what does that really mean? Okay, so now to understand Rabbi Akiva in death, you need to understand Rabbi Akiva in life. And now the next source, which says Talmud Bavli Masechet Brachot, so that Daf Samech Amud Bet, which is really the page just before the story of his martyrdom, is a story about when he was alive. Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva, Leolam Yehei Adam Ragil Lomar Kol David Rachmana Latav Avid. Rabbi Akiva taught a very important principle that one should accustom himself to say everything that God does is for the best. Okay? Now he says, accustom yourself. That means that it's not easy. You can't just walk around and say, oh yeah, everything's for the best. No, that's very difficult. Lots of bad things happen. Lots of little pains happen to us. Lots of big pains. It's not easy to just say, yeah, it's all for the best. You need to accustom yourself. You need to train yourself to say it's all for the best. That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. He's saying it's not easy, and that's what you need to work on. So now he goes on, and they give an example. Kiha de Rabbi Akiva de Hava Ka'azil Be'orcha. Rabbi Akiva one time was on a road going from one place to another. Higia la'irahi. He came to a town. Bikesh Ushpiza. And he looked for a place to stay, like in a motel. Lo Yahavi Le. No motel would give him lodging. For whatever reasons, you know, they didn't like him, they didn't have room, we don't know why, but they wouldn't accept him to have a place to stay in this town. Amar, kol David rachmana latav avid. He said, whatever God does is for the best, and he went into the fields around the town and went to find himself a place to camp out. Azal lan besadeh, v'hayalo tarnagola v'chamra v'shraga. So he went into the field, and he had with him a rooster, a donkey, and a flame, a torch, okay? These were the three possessions that he took with him to set up camp. Ba ruach kibei l'shraga. A wind came and blew out his torch. No light, no warmth. Ba shunra achle tarnagola. Then came a cat and ate his rooster. Ba arye achla l'chamra. And then a lion came and ate his donkey. Okay? Amar kol David rachmana latav avid. He said, whatever God does is for the best. You understand that he's now lost all of his possessions. He has no donkey to ride on. He has no rooster to wake up or to eat or to whatever. He has no fire to keep himself warm or light. And he says, it's okay. It's all right. Whatever God does is for the best. Right? Bo'oto laila ba'u listim v'lakhu b'nei ha'ir b'shevi. At that very night, these bandits came to the town, and they captured all the people, and they took them hostage. Amar lahem, lav amri lachem, kol ma she'oseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hakol letova. So when Rabbi Akiva heard this, he told his students, did I not tell you? Whatever God does is for the best. Now, what we're learning here is that Rabbi Akiva had a certain attitude, okay? And it was not an easy attitude. You don't know. When he had to sleep in the town, he could have said, all these terrible people ruin my life, make my life difficult. He said, no, you know. I don't see the big picture. That's what Rabbi Akiva is trying to teach us, okay? These are little things. These are little inconveniences. Some of them are bigger inconveniences. They're all sort of in the realm of, you know, physical inconveniences. But it was a life lived with this philosophy of saying, you know, I don't see everything. I don't know everything. There's a bigger picture. And so I accept that whatever God does is for the best. And that's how he was able to go to his death and say the Shema. Okay? So now, this attitude is really the sort of ideal religious attitude to have in life. And it's not an easy attitude. So difficult is having this kind of a perspective that Yaakov Avinu did not have it. Yaakov Avinu did not have this understanding that Rabbi Akiva had. If we read the paragraph in this week's Parsha, it's in Bereshit Perek Mem Hei, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sources from the top. So the brothers come to tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive. V'yalumi Mitzrayim v'yavo Eretz Kanan el Yaakov avihem. So they came from Egypt to Yaakov, their father. V'yagidu lo leimor od Yosef chai v'ki hu moshel b'kol Eretz Mitzrayim. And so they said, your son Joseph is still living and he's actually the ruler in Egypt. V'yafag libo, and Yaakov had a sort of a heart attack of some sort. His heart stopped. Ki lo ha'emin lahem, because he couldn't believe it. Vaydabru elav et kol divrei Yosef asher diber alehem. And so they told him everything that Yosef said. Vayara et ha'agalot asher shalach Yosef leset oto. And he saw, Yaakov saw the chariots that Yosef sent to bring him there. Vatachi ruach Yaakov avihim. And so the spirit of Jacob was revived. And then we get to an interesting verse. Vayomer Yisrael rav. Od Yosef b'ni chai elcha ve'erenu b'terem amut. So now Yaakov says, it says, Israel said, big, great, wondrous, my son is still yet alive, I will go and see him before I die. So now, we wouldn't say that this is really so difficult, but this word rav, great, isn't really needed here. He could have said, you know, my son is alive, I'm going to go see him. What does this rav mean? Okay, so the Midrash explains it in a very interesting way. It says here in Breshit Rabbah, Vayomer Yisrael Rav. Rav kocho shel Yosef b'ni, great is the strength and power of my son Joseph, shekamat sarot higiyuhu va'adayin hu omed b'tzidko. He says, Joseph has obviously, over all these 22 years, has gone through so many difficulties. Okay, he has suffered so much, and yet he still remains a righteous person. He still remains a believer in God, and that God controls the world and is involved in our lives. Harbe mi many, more than me, says Jacob. Shechatati, because I sinned. Sheamarti nistara darki me'ashem, because I said, my ways are lost to God. God and me, he doesn't care about me. He doesn't watch me. We don't have anything to do with each other. My life sucks. That's basically what Yaakov says. Okay? And so now, at this point, Yaakov has had a revelation. He's saying that something has changed that he didn't realize. Okay? And what is that? What Yosef realized when he told the brothers. If you look in this, in Breshit Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Dalid, Vayomer Yosef Elechav, this is in the beginning of the Parsha when Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. Yosef says to his brothers, Gashu na elai v'yigashu. So he says, come to me. And they came to him. Vayomer ani Yosef achichem asher machartem oti mitzrayma. I am Joseph, your brother that you sold to Egypt. Ve'ata, al te'atzvu v'al yichar b'nechem ki machartem oti heina ki l'michya shelachani Elohim. Lifnechem. So he says, don't be upset that you sold me to Egypt because God had in mind to keep us alive. right? There was a bigger picture that none of us saw. And Yosef is here able to say, I don't bear any grudges, and I don't, you know, whatever happened, and it was all for the best. Because now we are alive while there's a famine and people are dropping dead from hunger. We are going to be able to save our family because of everything that happened. So he says it's all for the best. Yosef was able to keep this attitude of a kol letova, as opposed to Yaakov, who admits that he just said, I don't get it. Okay? So now, the next verse, this is the very next verse after Yaakov says, yeah, I get it. Vayisa Yisrael v'kol asher lo, v'yavo be'er shava v'yizbach zvachim l'elohei aviv Yitzchak. So now Yaakov does everything to express his newfound faith, his newfound understanding of God's workings. It says, Vayisa Yisrael. It says, Israel traveled. So now if you look at the first perush that I have here, Ha'emek Davar, Beruach Gavoa Shel Yisrael. Before this, Jacob was called Jacob and not Israel. Only after he found out that Joseph is alive and his ruach came back to him, he's called Israel. And now he goes traveling to see his son in the level of Israel. Yaakov is the Jew who's struggling and doesn't understand. Israel is the Jew who struggles with God and with man and succeeds. Right? That's the name Israel, and that's where he's now called Israel. He's now come to an understanding, a spiritual understanding of the world, of how God works in the world. And now it says, V'kol asher lo. Israel traveled with everything that he had. So the Perushim here say, what do you mean everything he had? It's not that, like, we need to tell you that he brought all his clothes and his furniture and his stuff. No. It's trying to tell you something much deeper than that. If you look in the second Perush, Meshech Chochmah, Amar v'yisa Yaakov v'kol asher lo, shekol asher lo b'kochot nafsho, hayu shlemim ito. He says, everything that he had means all of his spiritual powers, all of his spirituality. He was now whole, shalem, okay? Before he was a broken man. He had lost his son, many terrible things had happened to him, and he didn't understand the world. Now he feels complete. Now he has gained a new understanding. Okay? There is a God that controls the world. I'm not saying that he didn't believe in God. He just didn't believe in the hashgacha that we're talking about that Rabbi Akiva said, that akol letova. And now with that, he feels complete. He feels whole. And so the verse continues and says, he went to Be'er Sheva and he offered sacrifices. What were those sacrifices? So the Rabbeinu Bachai says, ha-korbanot she'ikriv hayu shlamim. There's a type of korban that we bring that's called a shlamim. And the shlamim is connected to shalem. When you are whole, then you bring these happy sacrifices. You're like thanking God, okay? And that's what the last perush here is, the Moed Katan. Shlamim bezman shehu shalem. You bring these sacrifices to thank God that you're feeling good, you're feeling whole. So now if everything is so good and fine and Yaakov has now reached this new level of understanding, this new spirituality, we read the very next verse, something very strange. If you turn over the page, the next verse after this, all this goodness, says, Vayomer Elohim liYisrael b'mar'ot halayla. So now Yaakov went to sleep, and God came to him in a dream. Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, Vayomer hineni. Vayomer Anochi ha'el Elohei avicha al tira merda mitzrayma ki legoi gadol asimacha sham. So now God comes to him in this dream, and he says, I am the God of your father. Don't be afraid to go to Egypt, because I will make you a great nation there. Okay? So now, the Chizkuni explains this verse is like this false. If you look in the underlined part, it says, Ein omrim al tira ela lemishu hu mityare. He says, why is God telling Yaakov, don't worry? You only tell somebody don't worry if they're worried. Right? So now you have to ask yourself, why would Yaakov be worried about anything? We just got through saying, this is a man who now understands hakol letova. Everything is good. Everything works out for the best. What's he worried about? You have no worries. No. If you look, the Chizkuni goes on and he says he's worried because he knows that there's a prophecy that the Jews will become enslaved in Egypt. And if he's going to Egypt, this is going to be the beginning of the slavery. Slavery is not good. Slavery is going to be full of torture and difficulty and a rough time for his family. So he, even though he understands that God is in charge of everything, that doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen. So now, what does God tell him when he says, don't worry? Does he say, don't worry, nothing bad's going to happen. I'm in charge and it's all going to be, you know, easy going. No, look what God says. So the Chizkuni explains God's words from the Pasuk. Bati lecha, says God, I come to you, Yaakov, lahavticha, to assure you, im kirvu yemei shiabud ve'inui, if these days of slavery and torture have come now, gam karva habracha shebirachti et ziknecha ve'esecha legoy gadol. So too, if the promise to the forefathers that there will be a slavery time in Egypt, so too was there the promise that you will become a great nation. So now, what is God saying here when he assuages the fears and he says, don't be afraid? He doesn't say it's not going to be bad. He doesn't say there's not going to be slavery. He doesn't say there's not going to be torture. He says, don't worry, there's also going to be good. At the end, you're going to come out and be a great nation. Okay? So now, this is what the term Hakol LeTova means, and this is what you have to understand. Okay? Hakol LeTova doesn't mean everything is good. There is bad in this world. There is evil. There's evil people, there are evil events, there's bad things, there's pain and suffering. And to call that good because you believe in God is evil in and of itself. It is not right to call bad good. Okay? What it is right to do is say that in the end, it is all good. In the end, it will work out. These Gemaras of Brachot actually are explaining a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that just like somebody blesses the good, blesses God for the good, thanks God for the good, he has to bless God for the bad, right? So then the Gemara says, what are you talking about? So they say, no, there's two different brachot. There's a bracha, when something good happens, you say, Hatov v'hametiv, God, you are good and you do good. And if something bad happens, lo aleinu, you say, Baruch Dayan Emet, God, you are the true judge. Okay, there are two different brachot. So the Gemara says, so then what's the Mishnah saying that you're supposed to bless God when bad and good happen? So they say, you have to accept it, that it's all from God, and we don't see the big picture, okay? Bad is bad, and good is good, but in the big picture, ultimately, there's a puzzle being built here, and at the end, we will all understand that it's all from God. Okay, that's what it means to say Hakol LeTova. When Rabbi Akiva's possessions were taken, destroyed, whatever, he wasn't saying, oh, that's good. He was saying, there's a bigger picture that I don't see right now. Okay? So now that brings us back to the Shema. So if you look here, there's one other piece that I wanted to say. So now if you look in the third source on page 2, it says, Anochi ered imacha mitzrayma v'anochi alecha gam alo v'yosef yashit yado al einecha. So now God, after he tells him that I'm going to make you a great nation, he also tells him one other little piece of information, which is very strange. He says, I, God, am going to go down to Egypt with you, and I'm going to bring you up, and Yosef is going to put his hands over your eyes. What's that supposed to mean? Yosef's going to put his hands over your eyes. So now the Meshech Chochma has a very interesting explanation. There's a lot of explanations on this, but the Meshech Chochma has something very in line with what we're talking about. And the underlined part here, it says, Yitachen ki amar lo shebal yachkor be'einuno be'einav hasichliim al tachlit umahut ha'inyan shetzarich lered le'mitzrayim v'la'alot. It could be that what he's saying is, don't look, I'm covering your eyes. Don't try to look, don't try to understand with your intellect, okay, with your eyes of intellect, to the purpose and the reason for going down to Egypt and coming back up. What he's saying is that you can't understand this, right? And then if we continue the underlined part, it says, Amar ki ha'inyan shel Yosef yashit yado al inecha, because this whole issue of Yosef closing your eyes, shezeh ha'inyan Ya'atzom einecha shebal tachkor ubal tistakel acharei darki hashgacha ki ramo. He says, this whole issue of Yosef covering your eyes is trying to tell you symbolically, you cannot see. You do not see the big picture. You do not understand my ways. God runs the world, but it's way above us, Ramo. It's above man's capability to understand. We are humans living in our little bubble. God is far above that, okay? And so we have to accept that. Now he goes on and he says, now how, what way can I give you? How can I demonstrate to this to you? So the pasuk, the Meshech Chochma continues after the bolded words, Ki mi milel ze asher hatzar shel Yosef yehe letachlit nirtze kaze. Who would have imagined that this terrible pain that came because Yosef was sold would end up like this? She yidor b'mitzrayim v'yihi l'shalit, that he will come and live in Egypt and become the ruler. V'yifarsem de'ot sodkot, and he will come and teach people all kinds of righteous wisdom. V'kol ha'aretz yuk fufim lu, and lo, and all the world, all the countries will basically be under his rule. So what the Meshech Chochma is trying to expand here on what God was saying to Yaakov is that you cannot understand, just like you couldn't have had any understanding of that Yosef's being sold and lost to you for 22 years would have actually ended up in this greatness that Yosef is in charge of everything and has saved the family and saved the world. So you couldn't have understand that. So too, you can't understand why the Jews have to go to Egypt and then come out to become a great nation. But I'm promising you that you're now going down as a divisive family, and you're going to come up as a unified nation. And that process is unfortunately going to have to go through the Kor Barzel, through the iron, the furnace of Egypt. And now that brings us to the Shema. So the words here I have, you know, Dvarim Perek Vav, we say every day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What is that about? How is that connected to this whole story? So Rav Hirsch here explains very interesting idea about the Shema. He says, what is really the Shema? Do we just want to say there's one God? Look, there's all these people that believe in all kinds of gods, and so we believe in one God? No. Because then we should have just said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. Finished. Why are we saying Hashem Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? So he says, because there's Hashem, which is God working in mercy, in his merciful ways. That's the name Hashem. The name Hashem represents God's activity in the world when he's merciful. And the name Elokeinu is the name of judgment, when God exercises his judgment and authority over the world. Okay, so now people could say, you know, there's these two powers, you know, there's the power of mercy and there's the power of judgment, and there are these two opposing powers. There were, like, you know, idol worshippers that believe things like that, and so we want to say, no, it's all one God. So Rav Hirsch says that's also wrong, because then we should have just said Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Echad. But we say something else. We say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So Rav Hirsch says, when you see God working in mercy, or when you see God working in judgment, you have to understand that it's all God in mercy, Hashem Echad. It all comes from one place. It's all for the good, Hakol L'tova. Even when we see Elokeinu, even when we see Hashem, it's all Hashem trying to bring the world to its happy ending, trying to bring the world to the Gan Eden that it was created to be. Okay, that's what we say, and that takes faith. Okay, that's not so simple. All right, it's not easy to say Hakol Tova. It's not easy to say, yes, everything that happens in the world is all sourced in the one goodness of God, in the mercy of God. Okay, that is why Rabbi Akiva, okay, said that statement, Zman Kriyat Shema Higia, the time to express your faith, the time to understand and to say, even at this terrible time where they're combing my skin off, Ad Khan Rebbe, they asked him, could it be to this point? Yes, this is the point where you say, Shema. This is the point where you say that everything that God does is for the best. That's an expression of faith. That's an expression of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim. And Ol is a very heavy thing. This is what the cow pulls. It's not something fun. To accept Ol Malchut Shamayim means to accept the difficulty of being religious. It's to accept the difficulty that there are bad things in that world, but yet we still continue to believe in God. That was the greatness of Rabbi Akiva. That is why he was happy. When he died with those words on his lips, he died with that faith that really he understood to his last breath that there is one God, this one merciful God that is bringing all of the world to this great conclusion. Even in these difficult times, he was able to say that. That's Lekabel Ol Malchut Shamayim. So now, what did Yaakov do? We said that Yaakov, when he saw Yosef was alive, when he heard Yosef was alive, he already attained this point of Rabbi Akiva. And this is what this book, Menachem Tzion, which is written by Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks, he explains exactly this idea on Yaakov. Who kara et ha-katuv Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Yaakov said the Shema. Shema Shmo hu Hashem Hainu Midat HaRachamim, which means the name Hashem, which means mercy. Kol Da'avid Rachmana L'tav Avid. Whatever God does is for the best. That's that name Hashem. O Midat HaDin Shepaga B'Yosef. And on the other hand, that the expression of judgment which really touched Yosef's life, sofo hochiach shehaita midat rachamim, at the end that very judgment turned out to be mercy. Kamosh Yosef ba'atzmo hitzir, just like Yosef himself said, va'atem chashavtem alai ra'a Elokim chashva letova, you my brothers thought evil, but Elohim, the name of God in judgment, thought good for it. And so did David HaMelech, said the same kind of idea, and I skip to the end, and it says, Ki shnehem nasut letovati, that both the mercy and the judgment all were for the good. Bipagsho et Yosef, when Yaakov now came and meets Yosef, kara Yaakov shma, ki hasiyum atov shel hamura Yosef, shall Yosef hochiach et amitata pasuk, because the happy ending that meeting Yosef came to made this verse or this idea that we say when we say the Shema brought it to its veracity, to it showed its truth. Okay, and so that's why Yaakov said Shema. He didn't say the words the Shema. He said whatever it is to express this belief that hakol letova, that whatever God does, whether we see it as mercy or whether we see it as judgment, at the end, it's all for mercy. It's all for the good. When he saw Yosef alive, he understood that God does rule the world, like the Shema says, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So now I'll just end with one last idea, and that is that, you know, we say the Shema, we cover our eyes. Why do we cover our eyes? So I suggest that we cover our eyes just like we said the Meshech Chochmah explained that Yosef covered Yaakov's eyes, because you can't see it. You can't understand it. When we say the Shema, it's a statement of blind faith. When we say the Shema, we don't know. We're looking at the world, and there's lots of things that are very difficult to understand, that are very difficult to explain. When we say the Shema, we are saying that we have faith that in the end it will be good. We have faith that there's a God who's bringing the world to its happy conclusion. But we can't see it. Yaakov saw it. And so when he said the Shema, when he saw his son, so he said it with eyes open. When Rabbi Akiva said it, so he said it with eyes closed. We should be zocha, we should merit that we should all be able to say the Shema with eyes open when the Mashiach comes and reveals all the puzzles that this world has brought before our eyes. Thank you very much.